Phil Tiger. Slacker Podcast. Slacker Podcast.
Greetings, Slackers. I hope you're all good. I hope you're well. I hope you're healthy. I hope your family's healthy. And yeah, I hope you're getting through this okay. I hope you're enjoying season 3 of the Slacker Podcast. It has been pretty varied so far, and it's going to get even more so with the podcast that we have in front of you today. Last week you had Alt J, this week you have got the Italian composer Ludovico Einaudi, who is a humongously popular composer. He's streamed more than any other classical artist. He's also done so much amazing composition work for some great films, some great TV series. He's done a lot of work with Shane Meadows, where it's where I came across him in the first place. And also I think it was Greg James at Radio 1, was a massive fan of him, and I think I was listening to his show and kind of got into him that way. I've been playing him a little bit on my Radio 1 show, The Chillest Show, which is on Sundays at 7. And we're going to hear from him in just a little bit. Big up to the brand new Patreons that have come on in the last 7 days. Your support to the podcast is really, really helpful, and will continue these podcasts coming out. So if anybody is getting something out of the podcast and they, you know, enjoy it, and you've listened to all the episodes, or just listened to a couple, and you feel like you can part with less than what would be a pint of beer a month, then go to patreon.com/ the Slacker Podcast. There's been a massive upsurge in book sales for the book that I wrote, which is called The Slacker's Guide to the Music Industry, which is a guide for anybody who is making music or releasing music or needs a little bit of help with their musical career. And I interviewed the best in the game, collated it all together, and you can buy that at philtaggartslacker.com. And yeah, that's it. I've been making lots of mixes and stuff. If you want to follow me on Instagram or Twitter, you'll be able to see some of the mixes or hear some of the mixes. And it's at Philly Taggart, 1L in Philly. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's just get straight into the podcast. Also, just a word of warning. This is the first podcast I ever recorded in transit. So we did this in the tour bus from Brighton to Heathrow Airport, where he got on a plane and went to Cologne, and I got on a train and went back down to Brighton. And also, it's the first podcast I think I've done with somebody who English is not their first language. So you might need to have a little bit of patience at times. But man, the guy is just an absolute genius. He really, really is. And I had so much fun recording this and basking in the pearls of wisdom that he had to share. This is the Slacker Podcast with Ludovico Einaudi in 3, 2, 1. I guess you would call this a special edition of the Slacker Podcast. It's the first one we're doing in transit. I don't know about you. I've got the headphones on, so I can hear the rattling of the truck.
You can?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're the first.
Does it work?
It does work. Yeah, it sounds grand. It's the first Slacker Podcast in transit. I'm in a minivan with Ludovico Einaudi, and we are on our way from Brighton, my hometown, to Heathrow Airport. The life of a traveling rock star, am I right?
Yeah, it's the ugly life of a musician. Yeah.
I always thought that the touring life was all backstage parties and private jets. And
yeah, not really. And on the top of the cherry, there is the weather is very bad. I'm coming from Milano, and I was in Palermo in Sicily a few days ago, and it was summer, and here
welcome to the UK, my friend. It's very grim, although this is uncommonly grim for Brighton. We're so south of England that we may as well be in France. That's why I like living down this end and not up the top end. This is meant to be nice.
Yeah, okay.
how's your tour been going so far?
It just restarted yesterday, the day before yesterday, from Birmingham, and it went very well in both town, because we stopped the tour in August in London. I was at the Barbican for a few days, and so I had quite a nice break, and now I have an autumn part of the tour that is part in the UK. Now I'm going to Germany, and then I come back to the UK at the end of the month, and then I'm going to Spain and France.
Like, I don't know how you pack all this into the year, because, like, on top of all of the touring that you've done, you've also released 7 projects.
Yes.
I don't know whether to call it, I don't know whether to call them 7 albums or 7 compositions or 7 projects.
It's a project. It's one project divided in 7 parts.
That makes sense.
This is it's like 7 chapters of a big book, of a novel. So the idea of making 7 parts, because in each chapter it's the same content, the same itinerary of music, mm-hmm. but with variations. So every time the music is played differently, and there are some variation in the way I play same themes, or sometimes I make a detour and I change I add the part, and so you enter in this loop of 7 days of music. And it's like entering in a park where you walk, and you walk in that park every day from a different point of view, and the weather is changing, the itinerary that you take every day is different, but it's the same park.
I love that, like the concept of that alone, because like if you're a fan of your music, you will have one of those 7 parts of the one story. If I wake up in a great mood, then I would listen to... Which one would I listen to? If I was like, I want to... Maybe I would... Actually, no. I woke up in a bad mood and I want to get into a great mood. Which is like the most positive...
Of the 7?
Moment of those 7?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that. I think when I got the idea, I started to the idea came because I had a lot of variations of this music that I wanted to record. I had a lot of variation on my phone. So you start to listen to version 1. This is you like version 1, then you go to version 2, that is version 2 that is lower, and maybe it has a new part that is not in version 1. So
you just decided to put them all out.
Yeah, I said, why should I cut this and that?
Yeah.
And so I put them all in, and then in the studio other ideas came. So I think I wanted to keep also the vibe of the creation in the studio. Didn't want to learn all the variations that I prepared before, but some of them were, there was something established already and set, but there was a lot of that came during the recordings, because sometimes when you go to the studio, you might lose the freshness, the spontaneity of what you're doing, and I didn't want to. So I want to find the inspiration also from the studio, from the place I was.
You can hear the room in some of the recordings. You can hear like little creaks.
Yeah, especially in day 7. Day 7 was recorded. at the end of the group of the albums, and I recorded it in the mountains in a with an upright piano. I took my analog microphones from the 60s.
So you know it works. You know it works well.
And because I love those microphones. They are Neumann U67. Mm-hmm. They produce and create a very warm sound that I love. So anyway, I took them in the mountains, and I was supposed to go in another place in the countryside, but it was past June. It was in the place where I have a house in the countryside. It was too hot, because it was the summer was incredibly hot in Italy. So I was coming back from the States, and I said, I was looking at the temperatures, and I said, I can't go there because it's going to be too much.
It'll boil.
So I moved my itinerary to the mountain, and I went into a place where I had a room, a wooden room in a little hut in the mountains, where I was alone for 10 days. And I placed there an upright piano, I placed my microphones, and the room, the wooden room was crackling. There were some noises, but at the end...
It's intimate.
It got into the atmosphere, everything. And so this was performed alone, and I think this one reflects more the idea of when you are sketching your ideas. I didn't want to refine everything. I wanted to just live inside the what I was what I had in mind. I didn't took too many decisions and plans. I just did it.
That's where you need the creativity. You need that sort of moment of solace. Was this in the Alps that you made this? Because like the
It was in the Swiss Alps.
Yeah, and yeah. It has obviously a massive thumbprint on how the music that came out this year turned out.
Even when I was starting to think about the album, I was in a break from the tour, and I was it was winter. I was in the mountains, and I was. Every day I was listening to my demos and my from my phone, and I was walking and in the snow, so my mind was a bit confused, as when you are trying to understand what you're going to do and you don't know exactly. This for me is something. It's a state that happens every time I start a new project. I really have my mind is very foggy. I don't know what is gonna be. I don't know about the title. I'm searching for something that I still don't know what it is. And so I was in that state, and outside around me there was a sort of snowy landscape that was similar to what my mind was. And so but the walking in the snow and listening to the music helped me to, it was a sort of meditation, and it was very, I was concentrating on my ideas very much. I could focus. And really, I felt completely in the landscape and completely inside myself.
It's normally at the on the podcast. What we will do is we will play like a very early piece of music. From you, but with a lot of the sort of artists, you can get a demo from the very very beginning, and it'll be scratchy and it'll be raw, but. You started playing when you were very young, so I think unless we had a recording of you playing when you were like 10 years old.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment I would have to search in but I can't give it to you now because I'm here and maybe in Milano there's something that I can find. But
I've got something here. It's not a demo. It's from 1998.
Okay.
I'm gonna just blast in a little bit of it, and we'll talk about a little bit of it after we hear it. That was how do I pronounce it? Well, because I
Leonde.
I really hate pronouncing things in different languages, but in case I get it wrong, I try my best.
Leonde is it means the waves in English, and actually it comes from the inspiration comes from a famous book from Virginia Woolf, The Waves, and. It's quite an interesting book. I don't know if you know it. It's because it's quite an experimental book because it has some chapters that are written in italic, and those chapters in italic are the description of the same sea view in different parts of the day. So you start from the description of this view. It's like a movie. From the you see the bay, the color of the water, the sky, and it's early morning, and some people are appearing on the shore, and then it stops like in a movie and goes inside. The character, the font of the book changed from italic to normal, and there are some monologues of different characters. Then after a while it goes back to the seashore view, and it's not anymore early morning, but it's like 10 o'clock, and so the light has changed, the sun has gone up, and some more people are around, and then this scene reappears every 2 hours in the book, and at the end of the book it's night. And it says only the waves are, everything is changing, only the waves are always there, they keep coming, they keep beating the shore.
Yeah.
And this poetic vision of the waves going on all the time, forever,
since ever gave me the idea to write some music about it.
How influenced are you generally, or is it just that song around written literature, and like how much does that feed into what you do?
Well, what I like is that I like to take inspiration from other things that are not inside the world of music, because I think it's very interesting when you take something and you, I mean, you can write a piece of music about a group of birds that are flying in the sky, and you see the drawing that they create in the sky all together, and it's like a dance, it's like a choreography, and it could be also the way you move like a melody and a group of instruments all together. So sometimes I take inspiration from literature, sometimes from science, from other books, philosophy, photography, films, things I do, things traveling, and this helps me to focus on an idea from a different point of view, and it helps me to create the surrounding for my music.
An hour with 3 minute songs, that's 20 tracks.
Yeah, 20
and those,
tracks.
And those 20 tracks, if they sound the same, will begin to sort of grate on you. You need to take it on a journey when it's that long.
Yeah. And in fact, I remember there was a time at the beginning of the CD era when there were like good songs in an album and the rest was not so good. Anyway, now we don't have any problems about timing. I mean, you can create pieces that stay with you for a while. For you can create something that is 2 minutes long or 2 hours long, and or 20 days long. My family was quite a wealthy family. My father was a publisher, and so I grew up in a situation where there was some intellectual activity around me. And
did it feel stimulating, or did it feel like this is just part of the family?
Yeah, it felt like it was part of the family. When you are a boy, you don't realize what's going on. Actually, my mother was playing piano at home. She introduced me to classical music, but at the same time, she was quite an open mind, and she introduced me, I remember, to Satisfaction
by the Rolling Stones.
Yes. And so
how did that one go down in the house when Rolling Stones was playing? Like, was your dad quite traditionalist as well? Would he say turn that off, or would he be very much like doing the Keith Richards dance?
My dad was more traditional. I mean, he was not too much into the world of music.
Yeah.
And probably this is why I decided to go in the world of music, where I could feel more myself in my world.
Yeah,
I felt that music was my world, and my father book was the world of books.
Well, a lot of fathers try to make their son do the same sort of job as they are. If their father's a doctor, then the son becomes a doctor. If the father's a lawyer, then the son becomes a lawyer.
Yeah.
Was that pushed upon you as a kid?
Not too much. I mean, my father was, a certain point we discussed about it, but because I had some doubts about what I was doing in my teenage times, and he said, well, if you want to work with me, you have to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you have to take books around, you go take the books and go to the and take it to the bookstores, and you're not gonna go in the.
I quite like that. Yeah, like yeah, you're not starting in the boardroom. You're starting at the very entry level.
Yeah. And but I mean, I think it was a good decision because I really. Music for me was the thread and the connection with my emotions, and it was a good way to express myself and to find a position in the world. And I don't think without music I could have lived happily. I could find. A real connection with myself.
How do you think you would have turned out if you hadn't the music to go to, and you just had to sort of live your life without it? Because obviously you're like expelling so much emotion, and you've got your place in the world. Life would be a lot more difficult without it.
Yeah, it would be more gray, I think, for me. Bi-dimensional, and I think music it has helped me to dive into myself and to explore and to take out my dreams, my desires, my vision. Actually, it's like a. It's a very personal diary of what I am and what is my life and what are my what is good and bad.
Isn't it great though that when you put something so personal out, that little moment in time that you made is open to interpretation by the people that are listening to it? So they're like, what your journey was and what you've put out is something completely different to every single person that listens to it. And I think that's the beautiful thing about music.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think especially it's possible if you don't... it's even more possible if you don't have lyrics.
Yeah, of course.
When it's pure music. I mean, sometimes there could be lyrics that are very open and to different interpretation also. But... of course, without lyrics, you don't have even the direction is very, very open to all the possible backgrounds of people that are listening to from different parts of the world and with different backgrounds, different lives. And this is very beautiful. Sometimes it's even, I understand and I see that people... get so connected to the music that sometimes it's quite it's even scary because music it touches very deeply. It talks to them in a very deep and important way, and sometimes it has it changes lives and so. It feels like a responsibility that I sometimes I don't even know that I. It was not meant to be.
Yeah, it's not why you set out to do it. But obviously, like when you write something that connects with somebody on a deeper plane or a deeper level, that means that when they see you or meet you, they're probably share with you a lot more than they would share with maybe even their partner or their family, because you're almost a stranger, but of. Inexplicably help them through a specific time.
Yeah, absolutely. It becomes like a divine entity that is helping you to do all sorts of things. It helps you to to restore your to find your stability. It's like a divine entity. Yes.
Was the piano the first ever instrument that you played? Like, did you pick up anything before that?
The piano was the instrument that I used to hear when my mother played at home, and so she was playing every day when she wanted, she was like an amateur pianist, and she had her classic repertoire of Chopin, Bach, Schumann, and then she was playing some folk songs for me and my sisters, and that piano was like a fireplace in the house, because you know, it was like an aroma connected to the house. You know, sometimes there are places where that you remember for the aroma of the plants. Mm. Sometimes I remember there was a house in the countryside, in the seaside, where I used to go, that had a beautiful jasmine plant, and the flowers were smelling so nicely in the summer, and in the plant, the aroma at home for me in Turin was the piano of my mother. And so this became so familiar, and at the beginning I remember I didn't, it's like when you start reading, at the beginning you see the words but you don't know what they mean. It's only after a while that those words that are meaningful, that are not meaning anything to you, they start to come alive, and they start to change, and they start to get a meaning for you. And this was, as for the music, that at the beginning it was very abstract. I didn't know what was about. There were sounds, and at a certain point I started to feel the emotions and the expression inside this music.
Was it like a cerebral sense of being able to understand it, or was it like sitting down and learning about it which helped you understand?
No, it was like I remember it was, I probably was in another room and listening to the piano that was in my mother's room, and so there was a division between the two rooms, and I probably was on my bed, cartoon,
comics or something.
Comics, yeah. And then I was stopping from the comics, and I started to realize that this music that I heard for many days before, it started to become something that I didn't realize before. I was starting to recognize a personality in that music, and I was realizing that was warming my soul, and this was a very beautiful feeling that I had.
So was it like, obviously it was very instantaneous, the love for music you had. Did that make you want to sort of search it out more, like in a capacity of learning scales and actually learning about it and learning how it's put together and how you make these sounds?
Well, yes, of course. At the beginning, I didn't know anything about it. I had a very bad piano teacher. At the time I becoming attracted about music, it was a time where the albums like Revolver from the Beatles were released, and so I got, even if I was listening to my mother, my attraction was for the Beatles, the Stones, Jimi Hendrix, and all this music that was coming from the UK and the States. And
did you used to dress like that as well? Did you used to like?
Well, I had long hair, and then I immediately I wanted a guitar, not a piano. At the time,
did you get one?
Yeah, I got
acoustic or electric?
the first one was an electric one. And then I started to play guitar for a while. I was playing. I started to like to play the blues, and I had also an acoustic guitar that I still have. And so for some years, my passion was more into guitar. And
did you did you have a band that you play with?
I had like a summer band.
What were they called?
The Snoopies.
The Snoopies.
Yeah.
I love the first band names. They're always great.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever gig?
It was a village on the seaside, and we played.
You seem almost embarrassed to talk about it.
I mean, we played in parties more than real gigs.
Yeah.
And
at what point did it switch over then? Like, at what point did you go, okay, the guitar has had its moment in the sunshine?
There was a moment then when I was the band I'm talking about when I was now 12, 13 years old.
Oh, it was very young, right?
Yeah,
okay.
14 years old. And
that's why you were called the Snoopies, because
you were
still reading Snoopy.
then I started to go back to the piano. I mean, the piano was it was in my house, so I never stopped completely. And in those years, I started to. I was studying at school, and I was very bad. Those were the years of strikes, and there was a lot of. Revolution in the schools against the institutions, and I was always on the front line of those. And at a certain point, I remember I left school without even finishing the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I went with some friends to Morocco.
How old were you at this point?
I was 16.
So you just skipped school and went to Morocco?
Yes.
Like, did you find yourself? A lot of people go to Morocco to sort of find themselves. You must have been up to no good. Nobody goes to skip school and go to Morocco and act like a saint.
Actually, my father was not really happy about it completely. He said, "No, you cannot go to Morocco now." And I said, "Okay, I go." And I went to Morocco.
So you were a rebellious child, absolutely.
And then I stayed there for 2 months. And I came.
See, my rebellion was like, I'm going out tonight, and like I would go away, and I would come home the next day. You went away for 2 months.
And I was I remember that I think in 2 months I sent. One postcard at home.
I'm not coming home. See you later.
Hi, how are you? Here, everything is well. Ciao. And then I came back in June, and actually this in a way helped me to understand that. I had to decide something in my life. I couldn't continue with the school. So I said, well, I think music would be the only place where I would like to stay if I have to decide what is going to be my next year, the years to come.
It's a very stressful point in any person's life, that sort of 16 to 21, I find is very, very, very stressful, because there's pressure on you from all angles going, what are you going to do? And you're very young to actually be able to go, this is what I want to do.
to understand things. But at the same time, it's important that you take decisions in those years, because if you wait too much, then it become it could be late to study something that you want to. And I started at 16. I went into the conservatoire in Turin, and that was a very traditional, old-fashioned school, very severe. And but I quite liked it, because I dived into that very deeply. And
did you still have long hair at the time? Did they make you cut
I cut it a bit, but they were still quite long compared to now. And and then I started to I continue to perfection my piano studies, and I started composition, which was completely new for me. I started to study harmony and to the counterpoint, all the traditional forms of music. And this was very, I never studied anything so deeply in my life before. So it changed completely. Even my father, it was very surprised to, he was opening my room and he said, "What are you doing? I don't understand why you're here all those hours."
Why are you not going to Morocco for 2 months? Why are you not scaring your mother and I?
And but at the end, this was the beginning of my life.
This sounds like it was an obsession that was beginning.
Yeah, I was very obsessed by what I was doing, and also because I felt I was hungry for that knowledge that I didn't have, and I wanted to possess something that I was looking for.
When I picked up the bass guitar, and when I played in my band when I was a teenager, in my head I always had the idea that we would be the best band in the world, that we would be like on the front of all of the magazines, we would have the best music videos and all the rest of it. When you sat down at that age, 16, 17, when you went into the conservatoire, like, did you have the idea of wanting to be the best pianist in the world?
Well, maybe not. I was, the piano was like a tool that was useful for me to be, because my focus was very much into creating some music, some music that I didn't know how to create. And so this was very difficult, because I was trying to write some music and I found it not very good. And so I said, well, I have to continue and to search, to study, to get into another level. And actually, it took me a while to get in confident to what I was trying to do, and I didn't feel I was the best. In the school, at the conservatoire, I always felt that was I was looking at the other and think that there's a place where I always think that I could have done better, and the sound that I record could be better, and the way I compose could be better. I think it's something that always gave me the push to keep going and do another composition, because I would like to explore something different and deeper of what I've done.
Did you have a mentor starting out, and at what age did you start working with the mentor?
There was a teacher that I had that he was a very famous composer at the time. He was Luciano Berio. And actually, he was the one that gave me the first... he was the one that started to make me believe that I was doing something good. Mm-hmm. Because I had a lot of respect for him. I loved his music. And when he started to look at and to hear what I was doing, and he said, "Oh, that's very good. You should... maybe try also this, and but this is I like what you're doing. Come back to me in a month. I do this. I want to listen to it." So he was very good because I started to feel that I was doing something that was important.
Yeah. When was it that you like the international attention started coming to you? Like you were, after you were like studying. When did you start going out and playing, and when did you feel like your career really started to lift off?
Yeah, I think it was around the end of the 80s. This was a time where I was doing, I was collaborating with and doing some project with dance and theater.
Yeah.
I was working with an American dance company that they were also in touch for some reasons with U2.
With U2?
Yes.
With Bono?
I say that because this is an interesting story, because I remember Bono came to Milan. And I was doing the music for this American company called ISO Dance Theater, and they were friends. So we went to after the gig we went to a club, and I was sitting. We were three or four, and Bono was at the table, and we started to talk. Mm-hmm. And Bono was very nice. He was saying, "I like what I heard about your music," and he said, "We do something that is much more simple, but what we do is very much about the soul that we have, the heart that we put inside our music." Those words for me were important, because after all my years of academic studies, I think there is a moment where there are people that start to lose the contact with their dreams, with what where the dreams and the desires and the whys they become they started to become focused on music, why they decided to create music and technical idea of creating something spectacularly amazing.
But you need something to remind you of that sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you need. I mean, those simple words that I had with him were very important, because from that point, I was more aware of what was my where was my road. The road in front of me was that I wanted to follow, and I didn't want to hear anything else. So I started to focus on that. And
so was Bono particularly was Bono the reason you started releasing your own
No,
own music?
I mean not completely, but it's a nice
he sparked it off.
It's a nice way of telling you the story, because I mean at the time I was trying to focus. I think he was one part of the mm-hmm. of my story that came at a certain point, and I mean, I had a lot of respect for him, for his work, and I think the way he was talking to me was very simple and pure, and I like that.
Do you stay in touch? Like, do you have you ever like shared music? Have you ever played together?
No, but I was in touch with I met a few times The Edge. Because he married one of the dancers of the dance company we was working, so we are in touch, and sometimes our road crosses each other somewhere in the world.
So like up until that point, you would have done a lot of work for dance companies and
well,
theaters.
After that, I started to really focus on the piano, and started to think that it would have been interesting if I was, because before I was more composing music and not performing so much, and I started it started to grow inside me the desire to create a project that I was composing and performing and recording, so it was a desire to create something with my hands from the beginning to the end.
What was that project? What did it end
was,
up being?
Actually, the first one was Stanze, and then after that was Leonde, the one you played before. And immediately Leonde, immediately after it was released, first in Italy, then in the UK, it started to become popular, and there was the radio started to play it. I remember Stanze was played quite a lot of on BBC Three, and there was a program, but now I don't remember the name of that program on BBC Three. That was playing also ambient music.
Wasn't called Late Junction, was it?
Yes, Late Junction.
That was it. Yeah. But like with people who release music that's generally piano led, they can be quite, you know, like putting it onto an album or getting it played on the radio doesn't really mean that much to them. But for you, you're almost like the rock star of it, like where you're getting played and you're releasing albums, and the albums are doing better than everybody else's, and you've got more streams online than Beethoven. I think seem to have taken to the mainstream has taken to you, and vice versa.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I don't think too much about this popularity that is growing so much, and I think I try to keep connected with my desires of when I was when I started to make music, and I think this is what is important for to me. I mean, it's of course it's very important now that I can. There's an attention about what I do, and my music is allows me to decide and to create my projects more freely than before. And but I think it's very important that you keep your roots to where you started, and this is what I care about. There is another story, for example, that is quite nice about Shane Meadows.
One of my favorite directors.
He did This Is England, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was in a taxi going to a festival in Canada. He was in England, and he heard my music on the radio, but my name was not pronounced properly, and so he couldn't really remember what was the music that he heard. And,
yeah.
And then when he came back from Canada, he heard it again, and this time he could really write down the name, and he found it. And he started to listen to my music, and he told me that this music helped him to decide to write the story of This Is England. So this was this is very beautiful to know that with what you do you can inspire and open certain parts of someone else's soul, and make him decide that he can do a project that is completely different from what you do, and it becomes like a beautiful project as This Is England became.
Surely there's only one person to be able to write the soundtrack to that. If you were the one that helped him unlock his creativity to write it, at what point did he come to you to say, will you be a part of this project?
Well, he came, he started to write the film, and he came to Milano. I remember he came to Milano, and he had already done the film, but he was not completely finished. And at that point he said, I would love to have you in the film. Would you like to start collaborating with me in this final phase of the editing of the movie? And I said, yes, absolutely. I love the film. And I started to... I was in Milan, and he was in editing in the UK. And we were... I was sending him... I was recording at home, and I was sending him all the takes, and sometimes he was coming back and saying, yeah, I love this. And sometimes I was improvising on a scene with the piano, and then maybe he was taking my music and place it somewhere else where he felt it was more proper for the film. And it was a very nice collaboration, working long distance.
Our journey to Heathrow Airport is coming up on us quite fast. I feel like
we are here already.
Okay. I feel like we just left Brighton about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. How long was our conversation?
An hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
And
you happy?
I'm very happy. Yeah. Yeah. As soon as I get off here at Heathrow, you're going to Germany.
Yes, I'm going to. I'm flying to Cologne and Köln, and then from there to Dresden.
And I'm getting on a train and going back to Brighton.
Okay. I don't know, maybe which is... I mean, probably your trip is better than mine, because I have like 8 hours to arrive to Dresden.
Well, put it like this. You should be glad that this is the journey we're doing and not the next one, because you would have had to sit beside me with a microphone for 8 hours, and nobody needs that in their life.
Okay.
Thank you so much for taking the time out to
thank
to
you
chat
it was
to me.
A pleasure. I think it was a good situation to be on the road.
Yeah, I think I might do more of these. Like, you can hear the clacks in the background. I think it just sounds a bit more, I don't know, it just sounds a little bit different. I like it.
Yeah, great.